Today on Inside Utah Politics, the push to make Utah more competitive. A national PAC is bringing thousands of dollars to challenge state Republicans in 2026. And new laws shake up the rules on Election Day. What Utah voters need to know before the polls open for municipal elections in just a few days. And a spat over signs makes it to the Attorney General's office. Why two candidates for Hurricane Mayor are accusing the city of election interference.
You're listening to Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ertz.
And thanks for joining us. I am Lindsay Ertz. Let's go inside Utah politics. A National Political Action Committee investing in making Utah purple. Vote Save America is partnering with local consulting firm Elevate Utah to recruit 10 candidates to challenge Republicans in the state legislature. Now, they see those seats as flippable and key to shifting balance of power in Salt Lake City after the 2026 midterms. So I'm joined today by Gabby Finlayson and Jackie Morgan, partners at Elevate Utah. Ladies, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so it's a big deal for you guys to partner up with this PAC. Tell me how this all came to be.
We're really excited to have national support coming into Utah. You know, for the first time ever, we are seeing national organizations invest in our state, which is so exciting and early. I mean, the elections for 2026 are decently far away, but we need to have candidates recruited by January. And so we are going to work really hard to make sure we can get as many candidates, good qualified candidates recruited and get them in place before January so we can run really competitive elections next year.
Gabby, it's been reported you're getting $20,000. Talk to me about that money. I mean, that doesn't seem like very much when it comes to, I mean, you could put that all in one race and it would maybe buy a few campaign signs, right? What are you going to do with that money? How are you going to make it spread?
Yeah, for sure. So the initial investment of $20,000 from the good people at Vote Save America is really for us to focus on recruiting candidates. So this is not necessarily money to run the campaigns or to invest directly in the candidates or to flip these seats, right? We are under no illusion that $20,000 alone is going to flip 10 seats in the state legislature. But doing candidate recruitment is a lot harder than people think it is. You know, there are not many people out there that think of themselves as someone who should run for office or that will run for office, but it takes a lot of time. It takes conversation. It takes talking to people who know people and asking them who else we should be talking to in these districts, because finding the right person for the right district is critical in order to making these seats competitive for next year. And then making sure that we are doing training with this funding as well, and making sure these candidates have everything that they need ahead of the January 2026 filing deadline to really hit the ground running and make sure that they are off to a really good start.
I didn't think about the fact that you need money just to recruit candidates. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking this is going to campaigning, right?
Yeah.
Which doesn't go very far with, like I said, 20 grand. So, So stuff like training, stuff like paying for registration fees, perhaps. Like, what does that money go to?
It's really having a lot of meetings with candidates. It is, we want to make sure that we are finding candidates that are perfect for districts. And these are people that are already involved in their communities. These are people that have connections, have relationships, who are going to make good candidates. And that requires us spending a lot of time and staff time going into those communities, having meetings, talking to people, finding networks of people who make sense, and then asking people to run. Not a lot of people just think, I'm going to run for office and I'm going to be an elected official one day. And so oftentimes it means we have to ask people once or twice or multiple times in order to convince them to run and let them know that they're going to be a good candidate and that they're going to have support behind them and that this is going to be a competitive race. So we have to do all of that work, and it just takes a lot of time and investment into these communities to make sure we get the right person.
Let's talk about some of those races. The majority of them, I think all but one, are in Salt Lake County, 8 House seats, 2 Senate seats that you're targeting here. I mean, how do you feel like you are actually going to flip these seats? Because as I talk to Republicans, they're kind of like, good luck, ladies. Why do you believe you can flip them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of these districts, we pick them because we know that they are competitive based on historical trends and historical outlooks on where elections have come from and where these seats have been. And so, you know, we look at a lot of these countywide elections that covered these parts of the district or cover these districts and look at how other Democrats have performed in those areas. A lot of these districts, you know, in Salt Lake County, we have folks like Jenny Wilson winning them outright, Sim Gill, Lanny Chapman, Suzanne Harrison, right? We know that there is a coalition of people that exists in those districts that are willing to vote for a Democrat because we've seen it happen before, or these districts as well. I mean, Vice President Harris did very well in a lot of these districts as well. And so we know that coalition exists. And we know that also some of these seats are more competitive than others, right? Some of them require a different level of investment. government, especially these Senate seats, I mean, our Senate districts are so big, right? And so it does take a little bit more, and it will take more work. But, you know, all of these folks deserve to have a good challenger. We believe that competition is important. We don't believe that, you know, having a political monopoly is good for anyone, just like having an economic monopoly isn't good for consumers. And so we're really excited to make sure that these incumbents and, you know, the folks that are running also have to talk to the voters in these districts and really win them over, and that these Republicans should be held accountable for the votes that they've taken.
Let's talk about those two Senate districts, because you've got Kirk Cullimore and Senator Dan McKay. Cullimore's in the Draper area. Dan McKay is in the Riverton area. These are strongly held Republican seats. And then you look at Kirk Cullimore. He's the Senate House Majority Leader. The Senate Majority Leader. He's got the Senate PAC behind him. He's in leadership. That seems like a very difficult seat to flip.
Absolutely, but none of that makes up for his actions in the legislature. And we have talked to many people within that district who have been working to hold him accountable for those actions for a really long time. And he has run some of the worst legislation that we have seen in the Utah legislature. And his district is tired of not being represented by him. This is not what they are looking to have in their representative. And so if we can find an incredible candidate that can put up a good fight and make sure that we're letting people know about exactly what he is up to in the legislature, then we're going to be able to have a good chance at that seat, no matter how much money he invests in it, because we're going to actually have some competition. We're going to have real conversations and try and elect someone good who's going to actually represent the district.
I want to talk about whether you all believe Utah is turning blue. By and large, the numbers don't support it, but tell me, do you disagree with that? Tell me why you think otherwise.
I think we do disagree with that, respectfully.
That's fine.
I know there's some really interesting data actually about Utah and its outlier trend that has continued, especially since 2004 to the 2024 cycle. Utah has shifted the most to the left of any state in the country in the last 20 years.
Right. But we're comparing Mitt Romney to Donald Trump, right? I mean, we're comparing 2012 Mitt Romney and 72% of the vote to Donald Trump at 45% of the vote. That is a huge swing, but those are two very different Republican candidates.
Sure. Yeah. So that number is actually from 2004 to 2024.
Okay.
So we're talking about, you know, Bush to Trump, right?
Okay.
And so, yeah, Utah has moved the most. And we're even seeing inside Utah that there's some really interesting stuff going on. You know, Provo has moved 52 points to the left in that same time span. Davis County in Bountiful, it's moved over 50 points as well. And the Wasatch Front was actually the only major metropolitan area in the country not to move to the right this last election cycle, but actually move to the left. We have seen, you know, so many indicators that we talk about all the time that, you know, Utah is looking for something different, and that is not just the anti-Trump effect or people not feeling comfortable in Utah, especially with our values, voting for someone, you know, like the president, but that effect does trickle down to down ballot, and we're seeing these races become more competitive, and we especially see those races becoming more competitive when we have candidates who are running against these incumbents who are well-funded, who are telling their story, who are having those conversations in a genuine way, and not just letting, you know, the voters decide completely and voting based off of tradition or habit, but really getting out there and talking to folks about what things could look like if we had a little bit more balance in our legislature.
Y'all have become sort of TikTok and Insta famous. I mean, as one who covers Utah politics, I follow all the local political people, so I see your stuff on Instagram too. Tell me how the ideas for everything came up and how you guys kind of have grown that following.
Yeah, so we've been working in politics as political consultants and running campaigns for decades, and we've seen so many really good campaigns get built over months and months, and then the campaigns end in November. And we're really quick as Democrats and as political consultants to blame voters for not being informed enough or for not doing enough research. And we're tired of that. And we had looked around Utah politics for such a long time and said, somebody needs to be talking to people in a way that is engaging and fun and interesting and makes this stuff, you know, quick and relevant so that people can pay attention just in the time that they're scrolling on their phone. And so we started making videos. We didn't think much of it or think that it was going to grow as quickly as it did, but has been really fun and really exciting to see the actual excitement and engagement that people are excited about Utah, and for the first time in a really long time, actually feel some hope about being able to make some change here. And we've seen real impacts, and we had a letter writing event for Mike Lee's public lands proposal, and we had over 500 people show up in person to public coffee. And so seeing those opportunities for people to connect in person and to find community where we've often felt alone has been really the most powerful part of doing the videos.
Now, even if you flip every single one of these 10 seats you're after, that would still put you at 20 senators in the Senate, 20 Republicans, 8 Democrats, and in the House it'd be 51-25. So even if you could flip all these seats, we're still going to be in a Republican supermajority. I mean, what do you make of that, and how do you still stay motivated when those are the numbers? I mean, those are just the numbers, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, being a strategist, someone who cares about politics, someone who's invested in a state that we love like ours, it's about playing the long game, right? We know that we're not going to change everything, and you know it's going to be so different, and we're going to have a Democratic supermajority, right, in one election cycle. But it's about investing and playing the long game because, you know, as I mentioned, we really do believe that competition matters and that having monopolies is not a good thing for voters. And so, yeah, like if we are hoping to, you know, flip a few seats this year, flip a few seats after that. And, you know, we are especially looking at the 2030 census and the 2031 redistricting cycle, because we know that, you know, a lot of folks are projecting that Utah will get at least one or two congressional districts, which will lead to us having, you know, hopefully some more competitive races at the top of the ticket. But also, it really is important that we have a better seat at the table during those district conversations at the legislature. And even breaking the supermajority, even if it's just by one seat, is really important. It changes the way that, you know, committee assignments are done. It changes who sits on those committees for that redistricting conversation. It makes it a lot harder for Republicans to have, you know, backroom deals and have all of their, you know, legislation figured out before session and not really engage in public commentary. It gives us a better seat at the table to make sure that we have more balanced outcomes in the state.
And if people are watching this and they say, I want to run, where should they do that? How can they find you?
So they can go to our website, which is elevateutahpac.com. We have a tab on there that says 2026 recruitment, and we have a tracker so you can see what districts we are working on, see if you live in those districts, and then you can fill out the form, and you can even nominate someone if you know someone in your community or who lives in those districts who would be a good candidate. Sometimes that's the best way, because people often are humble and they don't want to do it themselves, but if you know someone who you know that person and you're like, you should run for office one day, you should submit them, and we'll follow up and have some conversations with them.
Ladies, thank you for your time today. Good luck with everything. It's been the talk of Utah politics this week, so good job.
Thank you.
All right, still ahead on Inside Utah Politics. Utah's next election just days away. What voters need to know about the new laws changing things this year. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ehrens.
Well, we're less than 2 weeks away from Utah's municipal primary elections. Dozens of races across the state will be narrowing the field ahead of November's municipal general elections. But this year, it's more than that. We're going to see a test run of Utah's newest election reform. So to explore what that means for volunteers, I'm joined today by Salt Lake County Clerk Lanny Chapman. Lanny, welcome to the program today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we have the new election law, and the biggest change that I see, and correct me if you see something different, but the biggest change is when ballots are due. And this is a big change for voters.
Oh, it's huge. So we used to be a postmark state, meaning that as long as your by mail ballot was postmarked the day before election day, regardless of when it got to the clerk, as long as it was within the canvas period, it was still able to be counted. That law has now changed. Now we are a ballot in hand state. What that means is every clerk has to have that ballot in our hands, in our possession, by 8 p.m. on election night to be able to be considered valid.
And that means no matter what time you put it in the mail on the Thursday before, if it doesn't get to your office by Tuesday at 8 p.m., it doesn't count.
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of variables that are out of the voter's control here. What do you recommend for people?
So as soon as they know how they want to vote that by mail ballot, vote it as soon as possible. I would encourage people that are waiting a little bit longer, closer to the 7th or the 8th of August, please use our drop boxes. Of course, our drop boxes, you can find them on our website. We have 28 locations throughout Salt Lake County, but they will be open until 8 p.m. on election night. That's the best way. However, if you want to use the post office, as soon as you know how you'd like to vote, make sure you get that in.
And we talked about this law ad nauseum during this session. You and I had conversations about it. I know you were not a huge fan of this change. Now that it's being implemented, what are some of the maybe intended and unintended consequences that you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of our missionaries that are still stateside, some of our kids that are going to school in a different state, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to make sure their voice is heard. And for those families that are taking that last minute vacation, they need to be very conscientious of when they put their ballot in the mailbox to make sure that we still get it by 8 p.m. on election night so that we can make sure that it's still counted.
And the goal here from lawmakers was to speed up results, right? Mm-hmm. If you have all the ballots in your office by 8 p.m. on election night, we can get results faster. Is that going to happen?
You know, we still have provisional voting. We still have same-day registration. So our voters still have that opportunity to register and vote same day. It's going to take my team and, frankly, all 28 other clerks' teams time to make sure that those voters were eligible before we're able to process those votes and finish up the election.
Okay, before we switch to another pretty interesting topic here that's percolating with elections and voter information, just talk to me about the races in Salt Lake County. How many are there? I mean, people should have ballots in hand now. If they don't have a ballot, what's going on?
Yeah, so we have until August 1st. That's Friday, to request to receive a by-mail ballot. So if you haven't received one and you feel like you should have, first check my website. I have a list of every single race that should be on there and an easy way for you to fill in your address to see if you should have gotten a ballot. There are 12 different municipalities throughout Salt Lake County that have races, 22 contests in all. So about half of Salt Lake County active registered voters actually are eligible to vote.
Okay, so there are some people who don't get a ballot, and that's normal.
Absolutely, totally normal. Give us a call, but if you live in Salt Lake, South Salt Lake, Mill Creek, Midvale, just know that you do not have a primary.
Okay, interesting. Oh yeah, because we're doing ranked choice voting, right?
You got it.
Okay, that's important too. All right, let's switch topics to another interesting topic that's bubbled up this week. The Lieutenant Governor's Office has responded to a request from the Department of Justice, basically seeking Utah's voter data, voter roll information. And the Lieutenant Governor has now said that she's going to give any publicly available data to the DOJ. What do you make of this? I mean, what are we giving them?
Yeah, so under our state law, anybody can come into our office and request a public voter rolls list. So that's going to be anybody that has registered to vote and hasn't asked for a private or withheld or a more heightened level of privacy when it comes to their voter rolls. So what she's doing is giving out state, under state law, what she has to, that she would give out to anybody that requests this list.
But we've seen other secretaries of state, even Republicans, say no to the DOJ. I mean, this is probably a question for the LG, but why is she giving this?
You know, I don't know. I can only imagine what kind of pressure she's under. But again, our state law does allow for this. So there is a mechanism for her to give out the public list. And that's something interesting for all of our voters to understand. You know, is my information public? Is it private? Easy way to check that out is call your county clerk. See what information is available to the public. Of course, for the public, voter rolls, it's going to be your name, your address, which races you voted in, not how you voted, of course, but which races you voted in, your party affiliation. There's a lot of stuff out there that is public.
Why does the DOJ want this information?
It's a very good question, one that I would like to know too.
Interesting. Have they reached out to you for any specifics or any other? Again, we have these withheld voters, right, that they can't get access to. And legally here in Utah, we cannot reveal that information. Are they trying to get some of that information? I know there's a lawsuit over trying to get some of these withheld voters made public.
Yeah, there's quite a few lawsuits going on. However, the DOJ has not reached out to my county.
Okay. I mean, what do you make of, I mean, information is public just by default of registering. Is that accurate?
That right? is accurate.
Just when you register, you become a public voter, right? Campaigns can see that. People can get that list. Basically, candidates use it to target you, right, with advertising and try to get you to vote for them. But then we have these categories of withheld and private and that can't be made public, and only certain people can request that. So people watching right now may think, well, yeah, I don't want my information out there, but it doesn't apply to everybody, right?
No, it doesn't. So again, state law has levels of privacy depending on if you qualify for those. Victims of domestic violence, people that live with victims of domestic violence, judges, our police officers, a lot of people that have a heightened level of scrutiny, they can request for their information to become much more private.
Okay, well, a story I'm sure that we'll continue to talk about. Lanny Chapman, Salt Lake County Clerk, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. All right, coming up here on Inside Utah Politics, a who's who of Utah politics joins the Inland Port Authority for a big ribbon cutting. What a new rail development just down the road from the airport means for Utah's economy. Stay with us.
You're watching Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, state leaders joined the Utah Inland Port Authority for a ribbon cutting this week for their new railroad expansion in Salt Lake City. The new intermodal station connects the facility to a similar one in Los Angeles with the goal of shipping more goods inland. Now, the Inland Port Authority has been controversial at times, with some Utahns concerned over environmental impacts or loss of local control for these state projects. But the governor says it helps businesses and gets more trucks off the road.
There's a couple ways that over time this is going to really make a difference. So one is getting trucks off the road. That's good for two ways. It's good for the environment, and it's good for our infrastructure, right? Less damage to the roads. So that matters. And then it's going to impact us over time with lower prices.
Well, Governor Cox says some companies are already talking about moving to Utah because of the additional railroad options. Well, the Attorney General's office is settling a fight over campaign signs in the race for Hurricane Mayor. Mayor Nanette Billings faces challenges from three candidates. Now, the campaign of school bus driver Gary Sanders says his signs reading Hurricane Deserves Better were being removed by the city. Now, fellow challenger Rick Crow filed a complaint against the mayor's office, saying that that violates election law. Well, Mayor Billings says she did not realize the signs were tied to her opponent's campaign, but Billings says the AG's office found that because the signs were not advocating for a specific candidate or a ballot measure, they are not protected by state law.
We didn't know if it was a candidate or just a citizen, because when you read the words, Hurricane Deserves Better, does that mean better air, better dark skies, better parks, better people, better, what is better?
She used the city taxpayers' vehicle and she stole signs and she left other ones there, including her own. So she doesn't have an argument about they were in a bad place or anything like that. So now I look at it, I'm like, well, she's just like a Grinch sign stealer.
We are going to work on our sign ordinance after this. This will definitely be the next thing that happens as soon as the election's over, that we'll have a sign ordinance so that we don't have this silliness.
And again there, the mayor maintaining she didn't know those were her opponent's signs. Well, the primary election is less than 2 weeks away in Hurricane and across the state. Voters will narrow the field down to two candidates on August 12th ahead of November's statewide municipal elections. Well, that's going to do it for today's Inside Utah Politics. Stay in touch with us on social media, would you please? You can find me on X and Threads at Lindsay on Air. Lindsay spelled with an A, of course. I'm on Instagram as well. You can also find Inside Utah Politics on Instagram and in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. Well, thanks for being with us, everyone. And I want to remind you, if you're looking for more national political coverage, check out the new show from our Nexstar National Network, Political Power Ranker. Our national political director and the head of Emerson College Polling look at who's up and who's down in the world of politics based on the data. We carry that for you on our free streaming News for Utah Plus app, and you can download that on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV. Again, thanks for being with us, and we will see you next week. We'll